This morning, I want to share with you four rules to live by: drink, swear, steal, and lie. And before you judge me, six ways to next Sunday, bear with me. You know, I am more and more convinced that that people don't really grasp the depth of commitment that it takes to be a believer in this day and age. And that God has offered us every one of these issues that we're going to be looking at. He has offered us a blessing if we will simply abide by these simple rules. And I know that there's a group of people who are thinking, boy, this is, he has lost it, he has gone over the edge. There's a little bit of craziness now, or more craziness, I guess, that has come into our pastor. But I'm going to ask you to please bear with me. So let's look at these four rules: drink, swear, steal, and lie. And as we work our way through this, we need to each examine our own life and say, okay, am I plugged in here? It's no secret God can do anything for us. We just sang about that. So if it was a secret to you, it ought not be a secret now. God can do anything, and He wants to help us with these areas of our life. The very first thing that I want to share with you is drink from the well of life. Drink from the well of life. Look with me, if you would, at the Gospel of John, chapter 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. You are familiar with this particular encounter. This is what's affectionately known as Jesus and the woman at the well. And you will remember that as he goes through Samaria, he comes to the city called Sychar. And that's where Jacob's well was. And Jesus, it's been a hot day, and he's traveling along, and he'd kind of like a drink. And so he goes to Jacob's well, and he doesn't have anything to draw with. And a woman comes along, and he talks with her. As we look at this, Jesus talks with this particular woman, and he makes an interesting statement to her in verse 10. He says, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And then I want you to notice verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again." In other words, the water here at Jacob's well does not quench the thirst of man. "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become to him a well of water springing up to eternal life." You see, God has offered us a way to quench the thirst of our souls for a relationship with Him. If we will just simply drink of the water of life that He offers to us, Jesus said, look, you'll never thirst again. In other words, this thirsting of your soul will be quenched to the point that you will not be filled with that emptiness and that gnawing sense inside of you that says there's something missing. But if we're going to begin a walk with Jesus Christ, if we're going to begin to with these four rules that we must live by, we've got to begin the journey with one step. Every journey starts with one step. And the journey of one step to begin a relationship with God is that we must drink from the well that He has offered us. How do we do that? By repenting of our sins and seeking God's forgiveness. And His promise is that as we do that, He will forgive us. And He will quench that thirsting of our souls for Him. So drink. Drink from the water of life that God freely offers. Drink from the well of salvation that God is freely giving to you. Don't be afraid to take from God the drink that will quench your thirsty soul. Rule number one, drink from the well of life. Rule number two, swear to do what's right. Swear to do what's right. Look with me at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Another very familiar account in the life of Jesus. It's contained in the first 10 verses. Luke 19, beginning with verse 1. And he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax gatherer. In other words, he was pretty high up on the ladder of tax gatherers. And he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable to because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. He was a short little guy. And he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Do you see the response that Zacchaeus makes to the call of Jesus? Jesus calls and tells us that he will quench our thirst. And then out of response to that calling of the quenching of our thirst comes a realm of commitment to live for Jesus Christ according to his rules and according to his patterns, according to his plan, according to his commandments. And so Zacchaeus gets a genuine change of the heart. Remember, who is he talking to? Is he talking to you or talking to me, Zacchaeus? No, he's talking to the Lord. The one who's being talked to, the Lord, has the amazing ability to read the intentions of the heart and the intentions of the mind. And so he knows whether or not Zacchaeus is lying or telling the truth. And so his declaration that today salvation has come to this house is a declaration that he makes because he sees the sincerity of the heart. And so Zacchaeus is making a vow. He is making a promise. And Jesus reads the intention of his vow and his promise. He doesn't look at Zacchaeus and say, oh, come on, Zac, you're pulling my leg. You know you're pulling my leg. You know you have no intention of giving half of what you have to the poor. Zacchaeus, we know that you're not going to repay those people that you have defrauded. Jesus doesn't say that to him. Why? Because he sees and he reads the pure intention of Zacchaeus' heart. I'm going to tell you, folks, you can tell an individual's genuineness by whether or not they fulfill their vow. That vow to God, and that's who Zacchaeus is making a vow to, is honored and fulfilled. So Jesus looks square in the eye, sees the intention of the heart, and he says, today, salvation has come to this house. For this is the type of person I've been sent to seek and to save. This is the type of an individual that I'll be able to do something with because he's sincere down on the inside. When you make a vow, pay it. Honor God with sincerity. I use the word swear here because that's what you do with an oath. You swear an oath. You put the whole character of who you are behind what your oath is. Stop and think about some of the oaths that you've taken. Those of you who were married, you stood before people and you took an oath, didn't you? An oath to be faithful to your spouse, an oath to love them, to comfort them, to keep them in health and in sickness. Your responsibility now to honor that oath. To honor that. Some of you here are members of this church. You took an oath. You made a promise before this congregation. I will support the church with my tithe. I will support the church with my attendance. I will support the church with my service. God took those oaths seriously. When you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you made an oath. You made a promise. You swore an oath of repentance. And that you would faithfully walk with Jesus Christ. And God holds you accountable for that oath that you took. You see, when we give our word, we're taking an oath. And if we won't hold ourselves responsible, God will hold us responsible. So when you swear, when you take an oath, you make sure that you pay it. You make sure that you honor what your word has been. Swear to do what is right. Now, as you are beginning this little process, you go from drinking from the well of life that God is offering to taking a commitment to Him, swearing an oath to Him that you're going to follow through with what He has asked you to do. Now the third thing is you're going to steal. And this is what you're going to steal. Steal away from the routines of life to help someone else who's in need. Steal away from the routines of life to help someone else who is in need. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I want you to see this. We're going to begin reading at verse 35. We could begin back at 31, but we're just going to pick up at verse 35. We're going to read through verse 40. This is Jesus who's talking, and he's talking about the coming judgment. And look at what he says. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. You did it to me. We get so caught up in our own daily routines that we forget that we are called to be the compassion of Christ to this world. And every once in a while, we've got to steal away from the routines of life in order to help someone, in order to touch someone else's life. Because we need to honor God in that fashion. We are called to be a body that is connected together with the purpose of reaching out into this world. But if we're so self-focused and we refuse to steal away from our self-activities to help someone else, we miss the blessing of God. And in fact, Jesus even comes out so strong as to say, we will face judgment. Notice what he says to those who are on the left. Verse 41, then he will say also to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. And they themselves also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What do you want? Do you want eternal punishment, eternal separation from God, or do you want life? If you want life, after you have drunk from the well of water, after you have sworn to God your allegiance to Him, after you have committed yourself totally, then you must be about others and not self. Otherwise, your faith is in vain. Steal away from the routine of life and help someone. And then number four, lie. And lie is this: lie down and rest peacefully. Lie down and rest peacefully. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 3 in your Old Testaments, right after the book of Psalms. Go to the middle of your Bible. You should have Psalms. The very next book is Proverbs. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to begin, we're going to read verse 13, and then we're going to drop down to read verses 21 through 24. Verse 13 gives us a little context here, all right? You can read that whole passage, all valuable stuff, but for the sake of time, I just want to cover these verses. Verse 13 says this: "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding." Wisdom and understanding, all right? Wisdom and understanding in our context is life. It is eternal life through Christ. When we have drunk of the well, that's wisdom. When we have sworn to Him, then that becomes understanding. We realize, okay, there's more than just a simple acknowledgement that Jesus Christ, but there comes commitment to a program, to a plan that God has established. And so we begin to steal away and do the helping of others so that we can lie down and rest peacefully. And so that 13th verse gives us a little context. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Now drop down to verses 21 through 24. "My son, let them not depart from your sight." The "them" there is wisdom and understanding. Okay, that's the context. It's wisdom and understanding. "My son, do not let wisdom and understanding depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so that they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble." Now catch this. "When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." You know what he's talking about? A clean conscience. That's what he's talking about. A clear heart, a clear mind, a clean conscience. Sleep comes easier to those with a clear conscience than to those who are troubled with deception, lying, stealing, and division. Do you want to be able to lie down and sleep peacefully? Then drink from the well of life that God offers freely. Swear to live by God's standards, by His plan. In other words, commit yourself totally to Him. Steal away from the routine of life to do the will of God in helping others, and you'll lie down and sleep will come easily. Four rules to live by. Drink, swear, steal, and lie. Now, there are opposites to these. I don't recommend them. Follow God, and He'll bless your life. Would you please stand? I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would, to please take your hymnals. Open up to number 376. Number 376, I have decided to follow Jesus. Perhaps you're here today and you'd have to say, you know, I'm not fully plugged in with God's program. I know that I'm not honoring Him in every area of my life, but today I want to make a commitment to follow Him with everything that I am. Then this call is for you. There's something in your life that you know needs to be gone. Give it over to Him. And then be determined to follow Him. He is offering you life. And He's offering you life that is abundant. Not just a get through, but a life of victory. It can be yours if you'll simply, fully commit yourself to Him. So if God is speaking to you about an area of your life that you know has got to go, there's something that has to be done. Remember Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, half I'll give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anybody, I'll make it right. Maybe there's someone you need to make something right with. Now's the time. So if God is speaking to you, you step out and come. As we sing number 376, I'm not going to do any more talking. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for the fact that You have established the plan of salvation, the program that we must follow, and then the promise that You will honor our lives with Your presence forever. Father, thank You. As undeserving as we are of Your love, You love us deeply. And we thank You for that love. Now, Father, I ask that You would guide, guard, direct each and every person who's inside these walls today. Father, may each one be keenly aware of Your presence. And Lord, we ask You to speak to each of us. And if there are areas in our lives that need to be taken care of, Father, teach us to do the honorable thing. Teach us to do the right thing. Let us be Zacchaeus's. Let us be post-conversion woman at the well. Father, let us make all things right. And Lord, teach us to honor the vows that we make. Now, Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your love for us. Please guide us and guard us in this coming week. For it's in Your awesome and holy name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.